Just a reminder that Diet Starts Tomorrow is a podcast for entertainment purposes only. It is not a medical podcast and does not constitute medical advice. Always seek the advice of a physician or a health professional. Betches Media presents
Diet Starts Tomorrow.
I stand behind my decision to avoid salad and other disgusting things.
With hosts Remy Casimir.
I'll have what she's having.
And Emily Lubin.
Remember, chew like you have a secret.
We're here to amuse
your boosh. Hello, and welcome to Diet Starts Tomorrow. I'm Remy.
And I'm Emily. And today we're talking about my favorite subject, which is fat phobia in TV. There sure is a lot of it. And also, we're going to be talking about America's focus on weight loss and casting tropes in Hollywood. It's a fun ep.
Yeah, it's an episode that we know a lot about. I study TV.
Professionally.
No, my friends used to joke in high school that whenever they would be like, what did you do last night? And I'd be like, watched 6 hours of TV. They'd just be like, just say you did science. Because at this point, it's like bumming us out.
What did you like to watch back then?
I always say I don't watch bad TV. I watch all TV.
Okay.
So I watched dramas. I'd watch like anything that was popular. I'd watch a lot of reality shows, a lot of dating competitions. And I just notice in looking back through this lens that we've been talking through in this podcast and unlearning some of my fat phobias and all that stuff, that there are so many things I watched as a child that I either look back now on and I go, what? Like, how did this even get passed because of how they're speaking about certain body types and stuff? And then other ones where I check myself and I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe that I thought that this person was ugly or overweight or, you know, like just had something physically wrong with them that they actually don't. And that was like, I don't know, I felt pushed on us a bit.
Yeah, manipulated, I think, is the word.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so with you on that. There are movies and TV shows on this list because we did put a list together.
And it's a little list for how much there actually is.
Oh, yeah. It's like a small sampling, but a lot of these are things that I watched when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize until years later how fucked up they were. To the point where, like, I was actually inspired by a lot of these characters. And we'll get into it. But, I mean,
I think before we get into it, too, I would like to ask the listeners, because this is something I was thinking about. Is there a show that you either grew up on or that you're currently watching that does a really good job with body diversity where there is a person who is bigger, that their size is not the butt of any jokes, that where that person is a romantic interest? Like, I'm even trying to think of them now, but I want you guys to do it. Just see if you can as an exercise.
I can't really think of one personally, except for Bridgerton. Bridgerton has a plus size actress in it who does have a love story plot.
Mrs. Whistlebottom?
No. Gosh, I forget her name.
What's her name?
She's such a cute actress. She has red hair, red curly hair.
Mrs. Whistlebottom.
She's not married. She's one of the...
Miss Whistlebottom. The girl...
Lady Whistledown. How dare you?
Yeah.
Mrs. Whistlebottom.
Listen.
She's a lady.
Okay, Lady Whistledown.
Yes. So, I mean...
But she doesn't have a happy story.
No, it's not. But, like, that's the only one that I can think of. Like, you know, she had a love interest and it wasn't, like, about, oh, am I too fat for this guy?
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that. But... You're right. It's not even a good one, and it's not even a main one, and I can't really think of... I will admit, there are people who've told me to watch Shrill. I have not seen it.
Oh, it's good.
Is it good?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe I'll try it out. But even that, there is a heavy focus on the weight stuff.
Right. It's a big focus of it. You can't... It's not just like... This is a person who happens to be existing, and what's weird about her is that she works at a pet store or whatever. It's like... What's weird about her is that she's fat. And like, that's the, you know, like.
Yeah. And that has to be like what we focus on. Yeah. So it's really tough to think of it. I think we're like, we're part of the way there. We're not even close to being fully there in terms of like creating interesting characters for fat actors. Mm-hmm. And there definitely needs to be more of them because there are a lot of interesting fat people out there.
Totally. And like we have said
on interesting fat people.
No, but like we've said on so many other episodes, not everybody is necessarily attracted to the same archetype of human. So like where are the shows for the people that are not attracted to a cookie cutter, you know?
I don't know. And you just reminded me, I had this thought while I was stoned off my ass the other day. Mm-hmm. I was thinking, and it all just came to me. And, you know, I think about this stuff all the time, but not in this particular way, which is if I was in a bunker for, let's say, 20 years and all I had as a reference point for humanity was television, I would think there are no fat people.
Totally.
You would just think everybody's thin.
Totally.
Which is super not the case. Mm-hmm. But it's just, it's interesting to think about it like that because even on reality TV, which is, you know, it's reality. It's supposed to be a reflection of everyday people, whether it is or not. You know, that's another story. But even on there, it's really only thin people.
Yeah. Or if it's a show like The Biggest Loser, the point is to lose weight.
Sure.
There were a lot of shows like that when we were growing up where it was a weight loss show or a Becoming Beautiful show, a show that I watched a lot. Yeah, exactly. The Swan with Dr. Terry Dubrow. I don't know if you guys remember, but it was Dr. Terry Dubrow. And
should I know Dr. Terry Dubrow?
He is Heather Dubrow's husband.
Oh.
Of The Real Housewives of the OC.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
They've been in television for a very long time.
Fascinating.
Fascinating.
I never watched it, but I remember seeing the previews and being kind of horrified.
See, I was at the place in my life where I thought this was the best show ever. I was so excited. And I don't know how much I've shared about the fact that like my dad is an aesthetics doctor, you know, like he does Botox. He makes people beautiful. They love him for it.
Well, he's a dermatologist, but he doesn't do plastic surgery, does he?
No, but yeah. Botox.
But Botox.
Yeah. And but he's in the business of quote unquote attractiveness.
Yeah.
And I always grew up thinking that that was like the most important thing, you know, just because of how excited people would get when they saw him. They're like, oh, your father keeps me so gorgeous and stuff, and it's the best thing ever. And so when The Swan came around, I was like, how wonderful is this that people who can't afford to go to the doctor for surgery can go and get a whole fucking makeover, and they get liposucked. And I don't know if you guys remember, the Swan didn't let you look in the mirror.
Yeah.
Until like 6 months after your surgery.
It's actually 60 years.
It was later. 60 years. No, sorry.
Yeah, they keep the bandages on your face. I mean, of course.
No, they
you
cover
have to heal.
Your mirrors. They cover your
mirrors. Oh, they cover all your mirrors?
Yeah.
So after 6 weeks.
Months, I think. I think
months.
Depending on, because some of these people were having entire body overhauls.
Yeah, like Kylie Jenner.
Sure.
This was the
this was people that
but I'm saying this was like before. I definitely wouldn't say it's normal now, but it is a little bit more like it's a little bit less shocking when somebody goes in and has multiple procedures done at the same time.
Yeah, this is pre Heidi. Remember when Heidi did that on the hills or whatever?
Ears pinned back.
Yep.
Chin job, nose job, boob job, butt job.
Sad seeing her talk to her mom, but she does look beautiful. Anyway, everyone's allowed to do what they want. But the thing that was fucked up about this show is they wouldn't let you look at yourself. And I don't think they had proper psych evaluations for these people. And it makes me think about like how fucked up it could be to just be a completely other person.
For
you
sure.
Know, wake up that way and see yourself that way for the first time.
Okay, well, I didn't watch this. So is there anybody who you remember from the show? Who?
No,
you don't remember
no,
any specific
I don't remember a single person because that wasn't the point. It wasn't about people's personalities. It wasn't about getting to know them. It was about getting to know this person is so unfortunate looking. How horrible that this person has to walk the earth looking like they do. Literally, that was the intro for every single person. Can you believe this person exists? Vomit. Well, we're going to make them better.
And I wonder how they advertise that. Like if there was an advertisement in the local papers, like looking for very unfortunate looking people to come on this show. Or is it just like, do you want a full body transformation? Mm.
And then they
the narrator.
Evaluate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I would be really pissed off if somebody was, it was like, you could get a full makeover or whatever, even if it wasn't plastic surgery. Just, you come on this show, you get a makeover, right? Mm-hmm. And I go in and I get the makeover, and then I find out later that they edited it to say, like, this horribly ugly woman for decided sure. to get a full makeover, you know, because they can edit you however
and
they want.
And they did. And that's why I like worry about the psychological effects on the people themselves. But also I'm thinking about me as a child just rooting for this, being like, fuck yeah, get hot, get hot. This is the only way we'll be able to stomach anyone.
And did you think that they looked good after?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
And I afterwards, I think there are some women who are like, it was only women, of course, who are like, yeah, this was the best thing I've ever done. And some people who were like, this really fucked me up.
Mm.
But what you were saying about the casting call, I think about that all the time with scripted shows, specifically Sex and the City, the way that they would name their like,
the way
their
they
random
were,
characters the or whatever extras, or in the beginning, there was like plain woman, normal woman, ordinary woman, chunky gay guy. And I always think about, first of all, naming the character that, but also the casting of being like, hey,
we need a chunky gay guy.
We need a mediocre woman.
What I think about is like, where is chunky gay guy now? Like, is he still acting and does his IMDb just have chunky gay guy as his main credit? Because Sex and the City, you want that credit on your IMDb. Like, if my thing was, you know, chunky dumpy woman, like, let's just say that would be on my resume for my entire life. It's Sex and the City, for God's sake.
For sure. Gotta keep it.
You gotta keep it. Listen, if you are chunky gay guy, please write in.
Please write in.
I would love to hear from you.
Yeah. And did that hurt your feelings? Yes, I was perfect for the role. That's why I got cast.
Yeah, you know, yeah, it's tough to say. I'm not an actress, and this is a big part of the reason, because I feel like you get typecast in things.
For sure.
And like, you can't escape what has already been drawn out for you and what niche you already fall into. And yeah, I would just be terrified of being typecast in that way or credited that way. This episode is brought to you by Nuuly. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always find the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you, Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for this season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. They also have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. And you always have the option to buy what you love. I love Nuuly. I've rented so many cute things from there, and I've even made a few purchases from there. And they're always spot on. They have so many brands that I honestly could never afford in real life. So it's great to be able to rent them. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles. But right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DST20. Just go to Nuuly, that's Nuuly.com, and enter the code DST20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com, Nuuly with 2 U's, with code DST20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Another moniker that I don't know if Monica and Fat Monica are two, does she get two different credits?
Fat Monica was my guru when I was younger.
Really?
Yes.
We're talking about Friends, by the way.
Oh, yeah. We're talking about the show Friends.
Yes.
You're a fucking loser if you don't know what we're talking about. But we're talking about the iconic sitcom Friends.
Or you're young or you're new here.
Or you're new to this world.
Yeah.
You were literally birthed from a sack yesterday.
Welcome.
Fat Monica is Monica Geller from Friends, but I don't know when the storyline arose. Like, I don't know if it was in season one that they said she used to be fat or whatever. Mm-hmm. I kind of remember like maybe around like season 3 or something becoming aware of that fact about Monica's history, that she used to be in a larger body, but a much larger body. They had her in a fat suit.
Yeah.
And the quality of fat suits back then, I look at it now and it just makes me laugh because it's like, it's obviously like a big old chin strap,
yeah,
painted flesh colored. And she's got like pillows in her sweaters. And we're supposed to, you know, believe that she lost all this weight in 1 year.
Honestly, the fat suits, first of all, I don't know if they should get better, but they have not gotten better because I just recently watched the Matilda musical and Brucey, who's the kid that eats a lot of cake, he's a very thin boy. Which I was like, oh, they could keep this as just like a thin boy who has to eat a lot of cake. No, they stuffed a pillow in his shirt. So like in, look up like the final dance scene, Revolting Children. Like this kid is like throwing around this pillow in circles and stuff. And it's absurd.
That's so funny. I actually watched that and I thought like, I just saw Bruce and obviously I saw the original Matilda. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, oh, that's cool. They got a skinny kid to be Bruce.
Yeah.
I didn't even notice the pillow.
Nope. He had a big old pillow in there.
That was another one that made a huge impression on me, though. Bruce from Matilda. Mm. This is the chocolate cake scene where Trunchbull accuses him of stealing the chocolate cake.
Yep.
And because he stole a piece of her chocolate cake, he has to eat this huge
chocolate cake.
and the cook sneezes on it also, while
Cookie
handing it to
gross.
Him. Cookie's super gross. They need to have better hygiene in the cafeteria.
But they don't want to. They hate children.
Yeah,
that,
I mean, that's the least of the problems over at Crunch'em Hall. but that scene like fucked me up so bad because it, and people criticize it now. I've heard a lot of people criticize it and it's a really triggering scene for many of us who either grew up overweight or have had eating disorders, like that shame, that shame of like having to eat
you
all
were
that
hungry
cake.
So you have to eat more. The fact that you were hungry is the shameful thing.
And it's also like that he didn't have self-control,
right?
He didn't have self-control to not eat Trunchbull's cake.
Yeah,
so now he has to eat the whole fucking cake in front of everybody at school,
right?
It's just, it's almost undescribable, like the creepiness that I feel in my body when I watch that.
That's why I liked initially when I thought he was thin. I was like, oh, now this can just be triumphant.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, you finished the fucking cake.
Yes. Yes. I've often thought about that, like how differently that scene would play if it was a skinny actor.
But that's fat phobia in us as well, I feel, or something, because it's like, like, they never said he was ashamed, did they? Or did we
well, they
just...
never actually... Yeah, they never actually said anything about his weight.
Yeah.
I will say that. Like, it, I do think it was intentional.
It's implied because of what fat people look like in media or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I want to get back to Fat Monica because the way that Fat Monica was... I'm just going to call her that because that's literally what her name was in the show. They introduce it through Ross's perspective, being like, oh, I had to eat really fast when I grew up because Monica would eat everything or whatever.
And I wrote this down too. Yeah. He said, there are a lot of jokes made at Monica's expense. And I'm talking current day. You know, they'll do flashbacks and they'll show Fat Monica. Like they'll show the characters when they were younger. But even, you know, years later, they make a lot of jokes at Monica's expense. Mm-hmm. And that was one that I wrote down was Ross said, explaining why he's a fast eater. He said, I grew up with Monica. If you didn't eat fast, you didn't eat.
At all,
So, like, the implication is like, oh, she was just this pig just housing down every meal and had no self-control. I think that is a narrative that, that gets pushed in TV and film, that fat people don't have any self-control. And there's even an episode, not sure if you remember this one, but Ross, like, injures a girl or something, or like a girl breaks her leg and she's in the Girl Scouts and somehow he was involved and he wants to help her sell the cookies because she can't do it. So he's selling Girl Scout cookies to all his friends and Monica buys Thin Mints and she loves Thin Mints.
Yeah.
And then she wants to buy more and he's like, Monica, remember what the Thin Mints did to you. And it's basically like implying that her fatness was because of an addiction that she then overcame.
Right.
And like, oh, she can't have any more Thin Mints because then she might go back to that.
Slippery slope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, they do talk about it a lot where it's like, it's clear that Monica has made a change. Like she didn't just one day like, and she watches her weight and stuff. Yeah. And that's what we're supposed to be happy for, is Monica staying on the wagon, so to speak, and like staying thin and like not indulging when she wants to. And a lot of times, and there is an episode where they kind of handled Fat Monica sensitively, because Chandler reveals that he dumped a girl at camp because she got fat one summer, and like he's trying to reconcile with her, and Monica learns that that's what happened, and she gets like so depressed, and she's like, are you going to do that to me?
Yeah, I kind of remember that episode. The thing is, he did do that to her, because they showed a Thanksgiving flashback episode of them meeting for the first time, and Chandler was a total dick to her because she was in fat body. Mm. And then they showed another year, and I guess in 1 year, she had lost over 100 pounds. Mm-hmm. Like, she lost so much weight in over a year. They never explained, you know, how or really anything. They never explored it that deeply. Mm-hmm. But
she went on Ozempic.
She was on semaglutide. Mm-hmm. Monica was patient zero. So she's in this new skinny body. Chandler comes home for Thanksgiving. Ross and Monica are brother and sister. I feel stupid like saying basic facts like this, but I feel like we already established maybe some people haven't seen Friends. Okay. So Chandler comes over to their house, mm-hmm. and he like almost doesn't recognize her. Now he's interested in her. Like, now he finds her sexy, mm-hmm. and she just doesn't know how to act sexy. And this is something I relate to so hard, because she had just dropped all this weight, and I'm sure she felt really good about herself. I'm sure she felt like this was a great transformation for her, but she's kind of like trying to dance around with this knife. Like, she's trying to like be sexy with the knife.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Chandler's like, what the fuck is going on? Like, he's very confused. And then she accidentally chops off one of his toes. With a knife. Like, they show it in slow motion going flying across the kitchen, mm-hmm. and then he loses a toe, and it's like a gag scene. But I related to that so much, just because
you've
like
cut people's toes off,
because I've dismembered many people by accident
during seductive dancing,
because like she like doesn't feel sexy. Like, right. She's had this big transformation, but
she's
still...
Well, that's what you're saying, like, she feels great because she's lost all this weight. I'm like, not yet.
No,
she doesn't feel great.
I mean,
great.
She like, feels accomplished. Like, she shows up in this sexy, like, velvet dress, and she's ready to show him up. Like, there have been so many times... I didn't go to my 5-year high school reunion. I didn't go to my 10-year high school reunion, but I thought about it both times, because I was like, I just want to show people up. Mm. I just want to show up, and, like, I know that I... quote, look better than I did in high school. Like, oh, I want to make everyone see. Not that they would give a fuck, right. By the way. They wouldn't care at all. But that is a very relatable feeling of like, oh, this guy treated me like shit. He's coming over this year and I'm going to make him.
Totally. Like, yeah, no, he definitely rejected her as a teen. But she was saying, now that we are in a married couple and you love me and you know me or whatever, like,
spoiler alert, they get married.
Emily.
Like, what can I assume that people know?
I don't know how we're going to talk about these other shows. Like, okay, we don't assume people know Friends.
From here on out, we assume
you know everything.
And if you don't,
I don't.
Too bad.
No. Okay. But I think that's what she was saying is, are you going to leave me? Like, am I still not going to be enough?
Yeah.
And because I've seen you were in a relationship with this other girl before, you just knew me and it was like a looks thing or whatever. And he was like, no, like, of course I would never leave you. Like, it was like, I don't know what was happening in the writer's room where somebody kind of got tipped off that like this is a fucked up storyline. And like this is something that a Monica would be worried about. And this is something that we need to address because people gain weight as they age.
Yeah, more often than not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People just look different as they age. And I think that was the point, is to be like, are you body essentialist with me? Do I need to look this way in order for you to love me?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good point. And I also think that that might have been written in there to show Chandler's progress.
Yes.
Because he did used to be really superficial. Mm-hmm. As is evidenced by that Thanksgiving episode and, you know, him dumping a girl at camp. I mean, listen, if we're talking about camp, we're talking about like 10-year-olds. And
I think they were 15. I think it was like a little more mature.
Yeah. A little more mature. I know plenty of 15-year-olds that would have dumped their girlfriend just because they were fat. And
I mean, I've considered dumping my boyfriend because of a bad haircut. Like people.
What was the haircut?
But you don't do it. It just looked a little Third Reich to me.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
No. Okay. See that? Say no more.
I know.
Well, I made a few notes about this because like it does bother me. I rewatched Friends like a year ago, the entire thing. Mm. And, you know, I've probably seen each episode of Friends like 4 times at least. Okay. I've seen it so many times. And it wasn't until I rewatched it the most recent time that I realized Monica is one of the darkest characters on the show.
Certainly.
And let's just break it down for a sec, okay? She's very type A. She's hyper organized. She loves control, okay? Mm-hmm. And that should come as no surprise considering that she was a fat kid. She lost a significant amount of weight. And mm-hmm. now there's this narrative of like, okay, I'm in control, right? Okay. She's very competitive. She always has something to prove to other people. Mm-hmm. She compares herself to other people. Oh, also, she's a chef.
She is a chef.
She loves food mm-hmm. on multiple levels. Mm-hmm. And yet, there's this thing that's being pushed on us that, like, she can love food and she can make delicious food and share that gift with the world. Mm-hmm. But she can't love food too much.
Yeah.
Because that would be bad.
Yeah.
Because nobody would want her.
Yeah, that is dark. When you said dark, my mind immediately went to her relationship with Richard.
Oh, interesting.
And like, this isn't super on topic, but it kind of is because it's like, it's a creepier relationship that I don't know if everybody would get involved in, but because a person has had low self-esteem in the past, maybe they
are seeking,
are susceptible. Yeah, and are
Richard
seeking approval.
Richard
is
her dad's age.
It's her dad's best friend.
It's her dad's.
Who's known her since she was a child.
Her doctor, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's really fucked up.
Like, yeah, I mean, if my dentist was Tom Selleck, I probably would date him too.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, now that you put it like that, it does have some dark undertones. Mm-hmm. Maybe she feels like she needs somebody else to be more in control in the relationship because she's always desperately seeking that control.
Well, she doesn't end up with him.
Right, but I'm just explaining you're right, she ends up with Chandler, who's like a pushover.
Who's a sweetheart.
He's not a sweetheart, though.
Oh, he's not.
Well, because when I rewatched it, I was just like, he's a dick. Like, I used to love Chandler, too, but... And I used to think like, oh, he's the funny guy. Like, mm-hmm. he just wants to bring everybody up. Mm-hmm. No, he doesn't. He wants to bring everyone down.
Well, then maybe that's why she's attracted to him, too. Because she's like, I don't deserve someone that is going to be the really nice guy or whatever. And also, I say this as somebody who used to go after assholes all the time. There's a feeling of conquering. You know, I got the asshole. I got the one who hates everybody else. Like Edward Cullen, the thing I loved about him was like, I've never found a woman attractive. But you. Yeah. So Chandler, we're saying, was kind of at least a shallow Hal.
Yeah. He was problematic for sure.
Which is a movie that I think about when I think about how fat people are portrayed in. And it's not just like bigger people. It's people who are ugly or have big noses. Or there's one woman in Shallow Hal that Jason Alexander, looking like he looks, you know,
yeah.
average guy. And this guy has the highest standards for what a conventionally attractive woman should look like and who he's going to date. And over the course of the movie, he doesn't like a girl because her second toe is longer than the first one.
Yeah, which is a sign of royalty, by the way.
Is it?
Yeah. So he passed up a queen.
What an idiot.
Yeah, such an idiot. No, but the thing is, like, I know so many guys like this that they say what their standards are for, you know, who they would want to date.
Yeah.
Or like, oh, this girl I'm dating, she's really great, but like, you know, her tits are kind of small. Like, I hear people say these negative things and I'm like,
who do you think you are?
What about your body?
Yeah, but like also that and like, Why do you think you're entitled to a person that you think is perfect looking?
Right.
But yeah, so if you haven't seen Shallow Hal, it's about Jack Black, and he is an average looking guy as well. And he is also, like his friend, super superficial. And I guess, like, I don't know how he ends up with Tony Robbins in an elevator.
Oh, yeah. Wait, I forgot about that.
But he does.
I saw that movie in theaters. Oh, I haven't seen it since then. And I remember a lot from it, but you might have to fill me in on a couple things. And I forgot about that.
So they're in the elevator, and I think he just starts talking about that he wants a really hot girl or whatever. Mm-hmm. And Tony Robbins is like, this is not what you need. You need like a brain flip. Like you need to realize that like beauty comes from within. So Tony Robbins is him. I guess brainwashes him, and then...
Yeah, like Tony Robbins has mystical powers in this alternate universe.
And isn't canceled. And but so now Hal wakes up and everyone he sees is attractive based on how they are on the inside. So if you're really nice, you're stunning. If you're a piece of shit, you're ugly. And it gets really disgusting with... what they view as ugly.
Yeah. So like this is one of the biggest issues I have with this movie is that sure, you know, the joke, we're supposed to think that he is unrealistic and we're not supposed to agree with him in the movie. I don't think, at least. But so what he like his standard of beauty becomes the barometer for how he sees people on the inside. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like, so for example, if I think a big hooked nose is ugly, if I think that's ugly, then the next asshole I see on the street, I would see as having a big schnoz.
Right.
And that's what it is. So he thinks fat people are ugly.
Right. So he is the barometer, but he's also, it's very like Western standards.
Yeah.
Beauty standards. So big noses, big people. Burns.
Yeah, burns.
At one part, they go to a burn unit and he's really nice to the children because he can't see the burns because apparently burns are so disgusting, but these children are nice. So they look quote unquote normal. What else is gross? One person I think becomes disabled when he sees them for actually how they are. And it's these comparisons of like, it's just very fucked up.
It's really fucked up. And it's fucked up what they made Gwyneth Paltrow do in this movie. Like, she shouldn't have taken this role. Like, she's been made fun of for this, for accepting this role for years and years and years. Because, once again, I'm going back to the fat suit. The fat suit technology was not on fleek.
It was not great.
It was so bad. So they have Gwyneth Paltrow, and he sees Gwyneth Paltrow as Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah.
But in the movie, the real Gwyneth Paltrow is much, much larger.
Yeah.
And she looks exactly the same. The only difference is that she's...
I don't think she looks exactly the same.
You don't?
No.
I thought the only difference was the fat
suit. They make her hair worse. No.
What did they do to her hair?
It's like more stringy.
Okay, but it's still long, straight, blonde hair.
Sure.
But okay, maybe they styled her down. Maybe they, you know...
I think they were trying to make the fat woman as ugly as possible, as... ha ha ha, how could he be attracted to this person? Like, that's what ends up happening, is everybody in his life is like, what's wrong with you? You know, and he's like falling in love and they're like, you're dating Shamu, and like all these like terrible things.
Shamu.
Yeah. And at the end of the movie, at least it's a happy ending that he's happy with her. And the point is that you're supposed to love people for what's on the inside. But over the course of the movie, you just learn what people deem unattractive. And if you have any of those qualities, you're going to feel really fucking bad at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And during the movie.
Yeah. And I would feel bad watching this movie again. Yeah. It reminds me of the ending of Shrek, how it's like, she doesn't need to be a beautiful princess because she found her match. Like, I always thought it was weird. It's like, oh, the world is going to think you're ugly. Well, that's okay, because he's ugly too, bitch. You know what I mean? Like,
no, it's supposed to be, but you're loved and you only need one person to love you and you only need to love yourself, right?
Sure. But it's like, but in the end, she thinks she's going to turn back into this, quote, beautiful princess that she was half the time before. But instead, she stays an ogre. Mm-hmm. And the ogre that she's marrying is like, but you are beautiful. Mm-hmm. So, like, I took it as, like, so because he thinks she's beautiful, like, to me, she didn't come around to see herself differently. It was just
she does in Shrek 2. So here's the thing.
I've not seen the sequel.
Yeah. Okay.
This they is cover why you this always need Shrek to see 2. The sequel.
Yeah, and also everybody go see P.I.B. 2, Puss in Boots 2. It is.
I didn't see P.I.B. 1.
A masterpiece. Neither did I. Yes, I did. I just didn't like it.
But I could P.I.B.
2, amazing. But Shrek 2, so they address how Fiona ends up, and there is an option where Shrek takes a potion, a handsome potion, because he wants to be the guy for her. Because now it's about the family and he wants to fit into the family. And he's like, listen, I like being an ogre, but I'll be a hot guy for you if like this is what you need and what your family wants. And Fiona wakes up and she looks like herself and stuff. And she's like, huh, well, this is interesting. But also like, I don't feel good about it anymore. And at the end of that movie, they both decide to be ogres together because they love each other that way. And I remember at that time, I was so like, no, we had the opportunity to be hot.
Yeah,
and we're not choosing hot.
There are potions.
There are potions.
You can just take a potion.
Fairy godmother. You have to see Shrek 2.
This is like, I'm embarrassed.
Yeah, you should be.
And I was shaming people for not seeing Friends.
Literally. So in Shrek 2... there's this king, okay? But yeah, Shrek 2 through 4, amazing.
There's a fourth?
Shrek the fourth.
Okay, yeah, I'm not caught up on
Shrek
any
the
of
fourth,
this.
If you like Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Which I do.
Check out Shrek 4.
Really? Okay, yeah. that's high praise.
Yeah.
Wait, that's so funny. That's like, if you like Braveheart, you love Puss in Boots. You're saying the movies are similar? Like
I'm saying it's multiverse.
It's multi. Oh, was Shrek?
Well, it's not multiverse. It's more time hopping.
I love time hopping. Yeah. I loved the movie Jumper.
See, and you would never think about that from Shrek.
No, I wouldn't.
But here we are.
No, I wouldn't.
Speaking of a time hop, there was a scene in Sex and the City that always got under my skin. And it was, I think, in one of the movies when Samantha has just come back from being in L.A. for a very long
movie.
Time. Yeah. And she shows up to some party and she has maybe gained 5 pounds, I think, or something like that. And she's showing this like inch of midriff. And Charlotte like looks at her like, oh, my God, Samantha or whatever.
She's but clutching
like,
her pearls.
Doesn't say like what's wrong. And then Anthony comes up and he's like, what's with the pooch? Like,
yeah,
about her stomach.
Yeah.
And it is like this woman has gained no weight.
Yeah, I remember this scene. I remember this scene, too. Samantha always had the best style, in my opinion, because she wore crop tops like into her 50s. But like in a
Carrie wears bras, I feel.
Yeah, but I just like Samantha's style better.
Okay,
I like her trousers and her her crop tops. Like it's almost like she shops at Chico's, but like the cool version.
What?
You know, like she dresses like age appropriate, but also super sexy. And I always liked that about her. You know, but yeah. So she's wearing like I wouldn't say it's a crop top, but it is like it does show a little bit of her belly. And so I guess like they're pointing out that her belly has gotten bigger, but I literally couldn't tell. Like when I saw that scene, I didn't even know what they were talking about.
The only thing that makes you be able to tell is there's like a sound bite that's like boom.
Oh, I love when they do that.
You know, it's like boom, like it's exploding.
Right.
And it's supposed to indicate that she's unfulfilled and she's gaining weight and everything is going wrong or whatever. When really... the happiest times in my life I've gained weight.
Yeah, it means you're eating good and celebrating and spending good time with friends. I mean, of course, some people do turn to food in times of stress or when they're unhappy, when they're depressed. Everybody's different. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I remember in the movie, she's kind of like, oh yeah, like I feel stuck in my relationship. Like that was kind of her storyline was like she got with this guy and she, for some reason... just wasn't as happy as she could be with him. And it sucks because I was a big fan of that guy.
Smith.
I thought he was good for her. But anyway, she wasn't happy. So like the narrative is that she gained a little bit of weight, but it was so negligible. I couldn't even tell. Mm-hmm. And then that made me self-conscious watching that movie thinking like, wow, do people really notice when you fluctuate that tiny of an amount?
Right.
It's such a mind fuck to see that portrayed on the screen. Cause like,
and should they notice, like as a friend, is it your duty to be like, girl?
Absolutely not.
No, but I'm saying that's what I think the implication is.
That, yes.
Is like your friends will notice. They also should notice because they're keeping you in check.
Okay, here's a question. What if it was more obvious? Like, I don't think they did it in the right way if they were going to say something about that. But what if it was quite obvious she had put on, I don't know, 60 pounds or something? Like, if and she didn't notice. And, like, would it have played differently? If she takes off her jacket and it's actually like a noticeable amount of weight. I mean, personally, to me, I still don't think you should comment on it. Mm-hmm. But like, do you think there is a certain point that a friend could be like, hey, are you unhappy? Or
you can always ask if your friend is unhappy. You don't have to be like, wow, your stomach. You must be sad.
No, and they shouldn't have delivered it. I mean, no, definitely not. But like, just as a hypothetical.
Yeah.
Like, would that scene have played differently to you, or do you think there's a way that they could have?
It could have been more sensitive. I think the point was, she's fat. It's disgusting. We need to be concerned and not handle it in a sensitive way.
Yeah.
Although, no, Charlotte wasn't going to say anything. It was Anthony that said something. I don't know. I don't know what Sex and the City wanted us to get from that.
They probably were just trying to play it as a joke.
Also, Carrie Bradshaw, they never really talk about her eating. Like, she doesn't eat like a ton.
Yeah, I can't remember seeing her eating.
And in And Just Like That, it's like the first time they kind of address the fact that she doesn't super eat.
Oh.
Yeah. But they also really don't go into it too much. But I think it was another in retrospect, like.
Yeah, do you think they felt like they needed to write that in somehow? But I always feel like if you're not really going to say anything about it, then just don't say anything about it.
Right.
Like, we're just going to kind of nod to the fact that Carrie doesn't eat, but we're not going to try to demystify that or
say why.
Analyze that at all. It's weird.
I mean, the new show is flawed in a lot of ways. I can't wait for the new season. so excited.
I haven't seen any of it.
It sucks. I love it.
This is so random, but do you remember Fat Bastard from Austin Powers?
Sure do. Do you remember Fat Amy from Pitch Perfect?
Yeah. Two very different people,
yeah.
But two very similar situations. Like, their fatness was the butt of every joke.
Yes.
And it was just like, okay, this, I'm trying to figure out how to say this in the right way.
Okay.
When I saw Austin Powers 2 and I was introduced to Fat Bastard, I remember a flip was switched in my brain where it's like, oh, you can like be funny about your fatness.
Ooh.
Like, oh, you can like kind of like,
you can be dead sexy.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sexy.
And then he had
Call
that line.
Us eat.
He had that line that was like, I eat because I'm unhappy.
And I'm unhappy because I eat.
And I was like, yes.
Yeah.
Like, for years and years, I was like, that is it.
Yeah.
That is the problem. I'm an emotional eater. Mm. He just summarized it. I don't know why everyone's so confused. Fat Bastard just summarized a nation's health problem. That's really what I thought.
Mm.
And then at a certain point, I realized it's actually not about emotional eating at all. Like, the food is not the problem. It's the feelings underneath when it comes to your emotions. But I do think like that it was kind of meant to be played as a joke, but kind of meant to be like an oversimplification of like, oh yeah, that's what fat people are. They're people who eat their feelings.
Mm. Yeah. I'm interested in, I wonder who named Fat Bastard?
His mom.
Well, we never find out.
Yeah, like, is that his Christian name?
Fat Amy names herself Fat Amy, and she says it in the beginning because she says, I call myself this before other people do.
Yeah.
So it was a protective measure and stuff. But both of these characters seem very confident in their bodies. They're both very sexual. And it could be a thing where you could go, oh, I can be sexy. But you actually shouldn't feel that way because that is the joke in itself as well.
Yeah, like I can't watch it and not think, oh, this is just being played for a joke. Like, do I think fat people...
Well, it's how they approach it in it.
You know?
Like, no, everybody is horrified when Fat Amy splits her pants and everyone sees her pussy. And everyone's like, oh, this is so horrifying. And like, it's men freaking out a lot. When men see a vagina, they get excited. Like,
yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
And so that I always thought, I was like, oh, wow, she must be so fucking gross that even her vagina is disgusting people. And Fat Bastard, there's that scene where he's like in bed and Felicity Shagwell has to get the monitor from him. Don't laugh at me, you guys.
That's her name.
That is her name. and she shags well. She does her job.
Yeah.
But she is so like put off by the fact that like she has to like even like be in this bed with him. And like it's so gross and it's so greasy and it's so like how could you feel good as a person like who doesn't look perfect
that? It would make you feel horrible.
Yeah.
But I also think probably, like I do think when I was in a bigger body and I would watch that, I'd be like, well, at least I'm not that gross.
Mm.
But there is that element, you know, of like, this person is a caricature of mm-hmm. a fat person. Mm-hmm. And it's not a positive thing. It's definitely a negative thing.
Mm-hmm.
But like, to have like a big, greasy, mm-hmm. oily, kind of like foul-mouthed. Not kind of. He is foul-mouthed.
He eats poop at one point. Oh,
but
no. Austin Powers eats poop. Never mind. Sorry.
But you assumed it was the fat guy.
I did. But it was his poop.
I don't remember that.
Sorry. The poop makes its way into a coffee machine.
Wow. Wow. That movie was ahead of its time.
Yeah.
Truly. No, but like he's a caricature
mm-hmm.
and I don't think it's helpful.
But there are people that big. And that's the thing, too, with fat phobia is once you're saying that that level of fat is gross, then like, where is the line? Like,
yeah.
You have to be inclusive to the point that everybody can feel okay.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
And I know it's really hard because of the media that we've been inundated with. Like a lot of what I was thinking of through these lists too, as like your thought of, oh, at least I'm not that fat or whatever. Like so many of my list is people that I genuinely thought were overweight. I genuinely thought Bridget Jones was huge.
Oh, man.
I also thought Kate Winslet in Titanic was a big person.
Because everybody kept saying she was.
Right?
Why was that?
And I like rewatch it now and I'm like, this is horrible. I remember in Center Stage, there, like the ballet movie, there was one girl who was on a diet, but then all the other girls who weren't Maureen thin, I was like, well, they're big too. Like, and mm-hmm. it is wild how you were saying if you only watch TV, you would think that there were no fat people. Like, I thought people should be so, so very small.
Yeah, and you're not the only one.
Yeah.
Like, I definitely thought that. And there are people who still think that. There are mm-hmm. still people who think that, you know, thinness is the ultimate gauge of morality. And
Khloe Kardashian has an entire show called Revenge Body. Which, it's much like your high school reunion. Show them how good you look. You look so good that it's actually revenge on them.
And much like my reunion, newsflash, they don't care.
They don't care. But also, like, your body shouldn't have that effect on anybody. Like, nobody should be like, oh, damn.
No. Okay. Wait, I never watched Revenge Body. Have you watched it? Have you seen it?
I watched, like, one episode.
Was it just about working out?
Basically, yeah.
Okay, we all know that's not how she got her body, right?
We do.
So, like, isn't the premise of this show just not even...
We should have put the swan and this one together.
Yeah,
it'd be more
totally,
realistic.
Totally. Because like that also, I mean, this is like a topic for another day potentially, but that does also piss me off, you know, when it's like, if you work out hard enough, mm-hmm. then you could get the body of your dreams. But meanwhile, we can't even find somebody who has achieved that from working out to host this show. Mm. You have the Kardashians on, what was it? I think maybe it was Ellen. And she asked them, you know, what do you say to people who think that you're promoting a negative body image for young girls? And Kendall's like, we work hard for our bodies. It's like, no, you don't. I mean, maybe you do. Like, I have no doubt that they all work out, but they've also had surgery. Sure. So like, how can you just push that narrative as like, yeah, work out really hard and like, you'll make him jealous. Some of us never will. Most of us never will.
Literally, I think I told you about that master cleanse I did where I lost like 10 pounds in a week. The guy never showed up.
Never even showed up.
You know, like they don't care.
They don't care.
And it just fucks with your brain for that amount of time and your body and your metabolism and stuff. And like, yeah, I totally.
I mean, that's why you need to do things.
The best revenge is living well.
Yes.
And being happy.
You need to make decisions about your body and about your life just in general, like according to what is going to make you happy and what is going to make you feel fulfilled, not what's going to make somebody else think, damn, I wish I could have held on to that slice. Like, it's ridiculous. Not that anyone talks like that, but you know what I mean?
You do. I hear you say that all the time.
Yeah, well, I'm a fucking dork.
No, no, no. I'm kidding. But yeah, so there's obviously like a crap ton of shows and media that we've seen like this. And I'm really interested for the listeners, if you could send us ones that you think have good body positive or like a bunch of different types of bodies, at least on one show. Another thing I've noticed besides scripted media and reality shows and all that stuff is the commercials that we watch in between our media are much more skewed towards looking good, weight loss, surgery. I have a friend from New Zealand who was here with me for like a few months, and she was blown away by how much of our media is shoving diet culture and changing to look better. Like, she's like, we don't have that in New Zealand.
I picture New Zealand as being like this utopia where.
But it's not just New Zealand. Like, it's other countries.
I bet it's
like
other countries.
In the U.S., according to researchandmarkets.com, the weight loss market is about $72.6 billion as of 2021 and was previously at $58 billion in 2020. So it's only growing, actually.
Yeah.
And then. According to Statista.com, there is a breakdown of the population in select countries worldwide who were trying to lose weight in 2020, the highest being Chile at 60%, then USA was 51%, and then China was at 30%, which I'm surprised that we're not number one.
Oh, that's very interesting. The highest was Chile.
Yeah.
Huh. Fascinating. Yeah, but 51% is still very, very high.
Super high. Yeah.
I do find it interesting that people were spending less money on weight loss products in 2020, in that it's not surprising at all. We had other things to worry about.
We were literally not being observed.
Not being observed, but also like we were concerned about actual
health
matters.
There were people dying. Yeah.
Kim, there are people dying.
Yeah.
yeah. I've started asking my boyfriend to send me his targeted ads, because I notice, I minimize every Noom ad, every Weight Watchers ad, everything like that. But the way that he gets marketed these things is different than the way I do. Mm-hmm. And these ads, and this is, I'm only saying this because I want people to know how, you know, smart these companies are.
Yeah.
And how they will tailor target you depending on, you know, your demographic and what they think will be most effective with you. So with me, it's like, you know, get a healthy lifestyle started. Mm-hmm. It's always great to eat more greens. You know, it's kind of like not so nefarious language. With Andy, it's like, do you want to cut 2% body fat by the end of 30 days? It's like very diet culture-y. And I'm talking the same company.
So they know how to get around.
They do.
You.
So anybody who says, you know, oh, well, this isn't so bad. Mm-hmm. You know, that you see an ad, you see a Noom ad, you're like, this isn't so bad. They just want me to eat vegetables.
Have a healthier lifestyle.
You just want me to be healthy. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that. I will personally send you what they're saying to Andy because it's like, because they know.
Well, like, and some people, I'm sure if you're on Noom and you're enjoying it, like that is up to you. That's your business. But at the end of the day, it is a diet brand.
Yeah.
Like that's the point of it.
It's a weight loss
app. It's a weight loss app. And a lot of these things are. And so the next time you're watching TV, count. See how many ads you see for Cool Sculpting, for weight loss pills, for, you know, I've seen surgery ads. I've seen.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, I don't see a lot of commercials because I stream only. But on the subway, I do see Cool Sculpting. Yeah. That's had a peak lately.
Yeah.
A lot of people are Cool Sculpting. And I don't even really know what it is. Is it actually cool?
Who cares?
Is it ice packs?
It is my ice pack. I'm Cool Sculpting right now.
Yeah. She's Cool Sculpting her thighs.
Yeah. My thighs are just melting off as we speak.
No, but it actually is cool.
It's cold. Yeah.
It's cold.
Yeah. But yeah, there. Even if you don't watch TV, there's billboards everywhere. If you go, I'm sure it's more so in places like New York and LA, but LA, there are massive billboards for doctors.
Yeah, lipo, for plastic surgeon.
Yeah.
So I mean, I guess
anytime I see one of those, I just try to remind myself that like, this is a business. It's a huge business. And they're trying to get my business. And that hasn't been good for me before. So mm-hmm. I can't buy back in. And I just have to say, okay, that exists. It's fine. It's not for me. But you'll notice a lot more now that like you're looking for stuff.
Yeah. That's a good way to think about it. I try to do the same thing, which is, or you know what is always a good thing to do? Get angry when you see those ads.
Sure.
That works for me. I just get angry at the way that I'm being manipulated right mm-hmm. in front of my very eyes.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, there are some shows that are getting it right. Like we said, Shrill.
Yeah,
it does get it right.
I should watch that. I really love that actress. Adi Bryant.
Yeah.
She's really funny.
But yeah, Teen Vogue cites these shows. Dietland, I haven't seen that, but I will check it out. Insecure, I don't remember a ton of body diversity unless they're talking about.
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen any of these shows. Wow.
Glow, I only watched the first few episodes. I will try again. Empire, apparently, there's. And Orange is the New Black. Yes, I can attest to that.
Orange is the New Black certainly does. Yeah. I watched like 3 seasons of that. But Glow? I don't remember Glow having body diversity.
Super, yeah.
I mean, it did show women being strong, which I always like.
Right.
So maybe that's what they're getting at. I mean, if we can draw any conclusion from this list, it's that it's too short.
We need more.
Yeah, we need more.
Yeah.
But yeah, please send us your thoughts, guys, and commiserate with us because we know that there are so many shows, movies, and what have you that we haven't
purposely haven't spoken about The Whale because we have not seen it yet.
Yeah, but I'm going to see it. I'm actually, I love Brendan Fraser.
Who doesn't love Brendan Fraser?
Nobody. That guy. He's the universal guy of America.
He is the most gorgeous blast from the past we could ever ask for.
Nice sick ref.
Thank you.
That's it for today's episode, guys. Be sure to send your questions to dst@betches.com and we will answer them.
Follow us at Diet Starts Tomorrow on Instagram. And if you like this episode, please write us a review and make it nice. Don't forget to check out merch on shop.betches.com. Rate, review, and subscribe to the show. And then, of course, follow me at Remy Casimir.
Follow me at Lubination. And of course, we're always with you
through thick and thin. Diet Starts Tomorrow is produced by Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales-Pico, and Aliza Zinn. Editing by Sean Kilby. Social media by Aliza Zinn. Guest booking by Ali Friedlander.
Be sure to follow Diet Starts Tomorrow on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And send us your emails to dst@betches.com or your voicemails to 212-287-5650.
Betches.